people like me, real melted butter. I would pay an extra dollar or whatever to, like, just draw in butter for, like, lobsters or something and put that on that popcorn.
And your popcorn would cost $41
instead of $40.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's a good value.
Are you ready? Because people are ready.
Not only ready, I cannot wait. This is all my favorite part of the weekend.
Well, let's help somebody. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Steve.
Yes. I have a question. My girlfriend's 64. She took Social Security at 62, but she just got diagnosed with not a good diagnosis. Would she be able to file for disability?
Did she took early retirement?
She took her Social Security at 62. She's 64 now and just had a diagnosis, which is not good. She's not ever going to able to work.
Hey, Steve, I need to ask you, too. I don't know what you're doing with the phone, but it sounds really muddy. I don't know how you're holding that phone. I'm trying to get you a little clearer.
Is that any better?
That's better. Okay. So what is your question is again, what? She's 64 now, and she, what was the question?
She took her Social Security at 62 or 62 and a half or whatever that early age is.
Correct. Yeah. So can she now get, file for
does
disability?
Does she get? I think she should. I don't think that she should preclude that. And, you know, it runs into two things, Social Security disability, the SSD, and then the Social Security insurance, which she has through Medicare now if she took early retirement. Is that right? If she doesn't have Social Security insurance, then she definitely should file for disability, because with that, her health insurance, if she is eligible because of her condition, would be a really important thing for the coverage of her medical treatment. So for that reason alone, I would do it. And I don't see how she would be precluded from doing that if she took, you said she took Social Security early, but didn't get any benefits other than she's getting a check. So disability is based on her health. I think she should apply. And not only that, if she lives in this area and you want to send me an email, I will get you to a Social Security disability expert who's really good.
I will do that.
Steve, if you don't mind, what was the diagnosis? What's wrong?
Pulmonary fibrosis.
Pulmonary fibrosis?
That's a lung.
That's what Bernie Mac had.
That's a lung disorder.
It's a lung disorder. And,
yes.
And it's very painful. And the fibrosis is exactly what it sounds like. There are fibers or things in her lungs. Now, can I ask this question, since we don't know, Steve, who she is? Do they think that the cause of the pulmonary fibrosis might be, say, environmental? For instance, she might have been around something that, like asbestos or some other toxin, or is it just one of those situations where she got pulmonary fibrosis?
I don't really know the answer to that one. I mean, she was a smoker. She quit 5 years ago.
It's worth having someone who specializes in what's called toxic torts. It doesn't mean it's a thing, to see if there's a causation between her work environment or her home environment and this diagnosis, because pulmonary fibrosis is not only very painful, it's also very rare. And so, yeah, smoking's not good. Anybody that smokes, you should stop, Limey and Dan. But that doesn't necessarily mean that smokers get pulmonary fibrosis or lung cancer, but it also doesn't mean that people with pulmonary fibrosis just get pulmonary fibrosis. Some people do. So while she's investigating that, if you also wouldn't mind, I will refer you guys to someone who is an expert in the possibility that she contracted this in some way that's beyond her own use of cigarettes and nicotine.
Steven, if you need it, do you have Scott's email address?
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
This guy's on top of it. He's on top of it. You're exactly right. Steve, good luck with
Thanks.
This. I'm sorry to hear that.
Absolutely, I share that.
But good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Yeah, I don't know much about that. You're right, it's not that common.
Bernie Mac, one of the funniest people of the last 25 years.
His show was very funny.
And I wish that they had made more of those Ocean's movies. I mean, I'm not the biggest George Clooney guy in the world, but that whole conglomeration of people was great. And he was an integral part of that, and I thought he was really funny.
Is that what
he died from that, yeah. And it was very painful.
Is it a death sentence? I mean, is it like somebody says, I'm sorry, it's stage 4 or lung cancer or something? I mean,
it's degenerative and progressive, but it's not...
But they can't
something
cure
like,
it.
No, but it's not something like a stage 4 lung cancer and, you know, where they say, okay, well, there's no stage 5, and this thing can then go, mastitize and whatever. A pulmonary fibrosis is different than a mesothelioma, which is in the plural. It's inside.
Or COPD.
It becomes more and more difficult for people to breathe, and at some point, the lungs just give out. But while they have it, even if it's treatable, it's incredibly painful. There are literally... like pieces of metal or wood inside your lungs. So every breath.
Brother. Steve's gone, so a line opened up. We do have callers, but we do have a line open. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Trish is next. Trish, welcome to 590, the Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Trish.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
I was calling to get some divorce advice.
Get it.
Okay.
No. She wants advice from you.
She's not asking whether or not she should get a divorce.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's decided to do that. That question's always easy. It's always yes. No,
yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My husband and I were married for 36 years.
All right, Trish, I'm sorry. When you started, you were nice and loud and right on the phone, and then you turned away.
Oh.
So there you go. All right, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry about that. My husband and I were married for 36 years, and in June, he decided that he was going to up and retire and move to Virginia Beach. And just fine, because we were on the path to divorce anyway. However...
And there's always a however in life.
Well, when he up and left, I mean, basically he did. He basically abandoned myself and my two children, because... a year ago, filed for disability due to some health issues that I had. I had to retire from my job. And when I retired, I took out my retirement that I had saved up, almost $100,000. And so we lived off that for a good year and paid bills, that kind of stuff.
All right, Trish, you know what? Hey, hold on. You can't hear it on your end, but you are popping. Just... Maybe back away a little bit. You must be right on. I know I told you to. Okay. So.
Is that better?
That is a lot better. So go right ahead.
Okay. So, my questions I would like answered are, now he's not wanting to pay any bills that are in my name. He's not paying. And since I have filed for disability, but I haven't heard anything from them yet. I filed back in July I filed. And so he's just stopped paying any bills that are in my name, although they were marital bills. And so I wanted to know if he's liable for that, number one. Number two, he has some sick time coming from when he retired. He's got about $40,000 that they're going to give him that he didn't take in sick pay. And he's not going to give me any of that. And also his pension. So those are some questions, because he's stopped paying everything.
Are you already divorced?
No. This just happened in June that he decided that, he moved to Virginia Beach and was wanting to, we're going to divorce.
Well, and I'm going to turn this over to Scott, but I will, as far as the marital bills, they're his too, because you're not divorced yet, and it's no different than if those bills had come in 20 years ago. You said one thing that interests me. You said my kids. Are they his kids too?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have
three
kids together.
Okay. All right, Scott, take it.
Let's pull back the layers of this country music song.
No.
You're not divorced yet. So, no. Like Frank said, he's right. There's either marital or separate bills and property. When did you guys get married? What ages were you?
19 and 20.
Pretty much didn't have anything that came with the party, right?
Right. That's exactly
it's
right.
All in the marital pot. That doesn't make it equally split, but equitably split. And the way that this sort of tug of war goes, that flag's going more in your corner than his, since he left for Virginia Beach and waited for you to go through the money you pulled out of your 401k. And so yeah. He's kind of a skunk, so that flag's going to move more Absolutely. Towards you than towards him. When you said kids,
okay.
Not only are you they're yours, what ages are these people?
Well, I have a 17-year-old. So okay. But I do have a 24-year-old. She's in college, and she's been living with us.
And how old is the...
supporting her.
Is there a third one?
Yeah, he's 34. Yeah,
all right, so 33 and 24 are out. He yeah. does not have to right. pay for them.
Okay. But 17...
17, he's in at the most until 21 if he or she stays in full-time college and keeps their grades up. So he okay. would have to pay for child support from the time... They might backdate it since he left. From the time he left until the time that that person either goes, into the service at 18 or doesn't go to college, at the most till 21. So there'll be child support. There will be a marital distribution of your marital assets. That's the property damage distribution with the flag I'm talking about. And I think you
right.
get, and I think you get maintenance because he's a skunk and you need things.
Hey, can I ask you a couple of questions? Trish, did he leave you because of your disability?
No. We had talked about divorce, but I was talking more of let's wait till we sell the house, you know, get the kids, you know, straightened out, you know, as far as my daughter that's in college, get that, you know, how we're gonna take care of those type of bills. But he just was like, nope, I'm retiring, I'm up and leaving.
He was gone
in a couple of months.
So is he interested in staying in contact with the kids?
Absolutely. He would like his cake and to eat it too. But because of what he's done, and again, this is a long story, but I mean, he's cheated throughout the marriage too. So the kids' relationship with him since he decided he was going to leave, they just were like, we're done with you, Dad. We're done.
So they're not interested in having a relationship with him?
Not at this moment. Not until he straightens up and he's threatening as far as saying, you know, I don't have to support you, Trish. You know, you're on your own with your bills. He left my bills.
Well, he's not an attorney. He's just a scumbag who left and went to Virginia Beach. He's not a lawyer. You're going to have to get a great divorce lawyer. Has anybody filed yet for divorce?
No, that's another reason calling. I kind of wanted to get some advice as far as, because I'm thinking I have to stay married, get him to stay on his insurance. Because, of course, because of my health.
No, let me tell you something. There's no advantage in putting off this divorce. You need to file first. Am I right, Scott?
Yeah, Frank is absolutely
Before he
right.
does, you need to file for divorce.
And I have three follow-up questions. Trish, what state do you
okay.
live in?
Illinois,
okay. Is he a school teacher?
No.
Good. And then third, did he take the dog? Because this country music song's got everything
you know
except him taking. Did he take
dog.
He took the dog?
Dog.
The music,
oh
the song look, is complete.
Look, it's
Wait,
all red.
Does he drive a pickup truck?
Yes.
So, not that I know of.
Hey, Trish, everyone that I know that has gotten divorced probably in the past 10 years is entitled to part of their pension or retirement also. So
right.
And that's the reason I asked about if he was a teacher. I wasn't trying to pinpoint who he is.
Right, right,
there are
right.
exemptions that the legislatures give for certain professions, which are crazy. And sometimes okay. teach school teachers and other folks that are so favored don't have to share their pension with their soon-to-be divorced
yeah, here's
spouse.
Yeah, what I find interesting about this guy. He's an intimidator. He thinks you're stupid, and he's going to tell
yeah.
you right now
yeah.
what you will and won't get. This guy has
right.
got some shocking news coming his way. He's
yeah.
not going to
yeah.
be the guy that determines any of that.
No.
That's for the courts to decide.
What county do you right. live in?
If I'm you, sorry?
What county?
Can you tell us what county you're
in? St. Clair.
Oh, my goodness.
What,
I know a guy that can walk to that courthouse to go over and beat your soon-to-be ex-husband into submission where he will be crying and apologizing and begging
Good.
Trish.
I'd like his name.
I'll give it to you if you send me an email. But there are things called quadros. I know, Frank, I
yeah.
stole your thunder again.
Yeah, I was going to say
quadros. This yeah. is how these retirement plans and pensions are divvied up between
right.
the person that earns it and their soon-to-be ex. There are calculations.
Right.
There are contributions.
Right.
And when he says my bills, say,
yeah.
hey, Buster,
How about
Call
our
him Buster.
Bills?
Yeah, call him Buster. That'll get him. Yeah. Here's the thing. There are women dumb enough to have a guy like this say, here's what you're going to get, and here's what you're not going to get, and if you make a lot of trouble for me, I'll make your life miserable. There are women who go, okay, I will, you're not going to be one of those women. You got a lot coming your way, and grab it and take it, but file first.
And send me an email.
And he already has so much going not his way that he abandoned, up, left, the kids don't want anything to do with it. This guy's in big trouble.
He already made your life miserable by cheating on you throughout the course of your marriage. Yeah. What more could he possibly do to you without a hatchet in his hand? He's a piece of garbage, and it's time for your revenge. Get it done with a pen. You will thank me later.
Well, should I ask you one thing about his unpaid sick? Is that something I can get part of? It's his sick time throughout the whole.
That's part of the quadro. All of those benefits, all of those fringe benefits, all of those wage things, all that pension talk gets poured into this big cauldron called a quadro, and they figure it out in the court. And usually, because there are thousands of people that go through this, they got it down to a science. So,
Trish, the longer you wait, the longer you wait to file, the more time he has to figure out how to screw you over.
He's a bully.
Get it filed. Get file for divorce and start the process of getting what you got coming to you. Okay?
I will. Thank you very much.
Do you know Scott's email address?
I don't.
You want it?
I do.
Go ahead, Scott.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Good luck.
Much.
Good luck, Trish.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. How about that guy?
Jesus.
Here's what you're going to get or you're not going to get.
I got this vision of this like guy in his dirty like wife beater T-shirt drinking beer out of it.
See, I don't. I have a vision of a guy who, if you looked at him, you'd never in a million years guess that he's a piece of garbage. I was going to say there's a line open, but somebody smart just jumped in and grabbed it. Let's go to Eric. Eric, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Eric.
AM and the Payment.
Thank you.
So, quick and easy, I left a former position back in April, and at the time, they paid out my unused benefits by writing me a check. When they wrote that check, they didn't take out any taxes. I received a phone call this week notifying me that they were supposed to take out these taxes, and that they have already paid them, but I need to pay them back. I'm going to do it because it's the right thing, but I just kind of wanted to know where I stood legally on this. If I really wanted to give them trouble, could I?
This is a really good one. Yeah, you probably could, but you've already stated that you're a decent human being, and what's right is right. The money is taxable. If they'd done it correctly, you would only have received the after-tax amount. So what the heck? Pay them back. Because it's not money you were supposed to have anyway. Scott, it's yours.
I'd make these skunks prove that they paid the taxes.
Yeah, that is true. I would.
In writing.
Yeah, you do need
show
to do
me
that.
The check you wrote to the withholding to the IRS.
Right.
And then once they do that, I'd write them a check.
No, that's
if
a good
they
point.
Don't produce that in 2 weeks, send me an email. I've got the best tax lawyer guy in town, and he'll look into it.
He's right. They do need to prove to you they wrote. Give them a copy of the check, and then you pay them back.
Now the other
they already sent that to me, so I just
the operative word is said. They sent it, S-E-N-T or S-A-I-D?
No, he said they sent it.
They called me and then followed up with an email to show me.
Eric, this is no different than if the bank made a mistake and they sent you a statement that says you got $600,000 when you really have $6,000. You're not going to get that money.
My only caveat. And then when you left, are you some kind of salesperson, Eric, where they had a non-compete clause or something like that?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I know. It was great to get that big fat check, wasn't it? Thinking you get to keep all that, but you got to give them back that part of it. Eric,
you're doing not only the right thing, you're doing the legal thing.
Yeah, karma will take care of you and you'll be fine. And thanks for being a
decent glad you left?
Human being.
Eric?
No, I have a good working relationship with them still. I still work with them. So,
and by the way,
I'm just curious if they wanted to be a different guy.
Now, if they prove that they paid it, you're on the hook.
Eric, how long did you work there?
About a year. But okay. I mean, within that organization with different, it's not worth burning bridges.
No, and here's the thing. You just said you have a good relationship with them. Maintain that, because down the road, you may need them to say, this guy's a decent guy.
And what was the amount in controversy? What is that taxed amount that they're asking for back?
It wasn't enough for me to worry about.
$800
less than that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I've got it. I can do it. So it's not like it's a financial hardship on me. But
pay it.
Just out of curiosity, because I don't know, and I'm lucky enough to have a great radio show I listen to with a great lawyer on it.
Now, you're doing the right thing.
Email address, frankopinion.com, and go to the sponsors, and you can find the email address that way, correct?
No. You go to our Facebook page to find it.
Facebook.com/AM in the PM. Okay.
All right, Eric. Good luck. Thank you.
Thanks for the help.
You know what that was? That guy was just, he wanted reassurance that doing the right thing was the right thing to do.
Yeah. And that was his obligation. I believe that if they prove that they paid that to the IRS and that was supposed to be withholding, I think he is not only, in his world, morally bound, but I think he's legally bound.
And by the way, if he had decided to just keep it, they're not going to come after him for $200 or whatever it is. But it's still the right thing to do.
I do think it was his. It is on him eventually.
Yeah.
If they did come after him, so he did both, and he's doing it in a way that will make that seem like nothing.
All right. When Eric ended, line open. Somebody's going to grab it. Why not you? 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Bob.
AM and the PM.
Thank you. What do you got?
About 10 years ago, my wife went to an endocrinologist, and they said she had cancer on her thyroid. Well, they did an operation. They took out half the thyroid, and they said they didn't get it. So they went back in, and they took out the rest of the thyroid. And then they said they found a little bit of cancer about the size of a pencil lead. And since then, she's had to take Synthroid and other medications and everything to compensate for the loss of the thyroid. And so she went to a naturalist doctor, and she wanted to see the results of the pathology, and the pathology that they sent her said they found cancer the first time. So they're out and out lying about the whole thing, and I think it was an unnecessary operation from the start. And I was wondering if we had any recourse.
What state do you guys live in?
Missouri.
Okay. Illinois has a discovery rule that tolls the statute of limitations, and the statute of limitations is a time period that is decided by the legislature on how long you can file a lawsuit after it occurs. Medical malpractice has been a very hot button topic, very controversial, very political. And you know, if this was an Illinois case, when did she discover that she never had cancer, didn't need this surgery in the first place? When did that occur?
That occurred shortly after the operation. They said 10
years
ago? Cancer.
Give me a year. Okay.
I don't know for sure.
2008, 2009.
I think it was 2008, somewhere around there.
This is a great result for you and your wife. You know why? Is she okay?
Oh, yes and no. She's had problems ever since.
Well, here's the great result. She's, okay. She's alive, and her case is dead. It's too late. The statute of limitations, even in the discovery rule, is no more than 2 years in Illinois and 3 years in Missouri when you should have realized it. So the ability, even if this was malpractice, on a missed non-cancer diagnosis and an unnecessary set of surgeries, it is too late for this case, even if it was viable, for it to get to court. It's like leaving a great steak out in the sun and then 3 years later trying to cook it. It's over. And I'm not sure this is a great case to begin with. So put this part of your life in some kind of box and put it on the shelf or close the book or whatever analogy you want. That case in any state will never see the light of day, and enjoy the time with your wife, with or without her thyroid, because it's over.
Okay.
All right.
I just wanted to get some clarification.
All right, Bob. Good luck. Have a give your wife our best, and thanks for listening.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, Bob. We'll take a quick break. Scott, hang on. Dan, hang on. Line just opened. 314-821-0590. 855-282-8255. My banking facility doesn't have the word bank in the name, or doesn't have the word banking in the name. It's First Community Credit Union, which I guess makes it sound to some people like it's a place to go get a credit card, or it's a place where you can go get some kind of credit, or if you have good... No, it's a place to bank. It's a place to do all your banking. Credit cards, debit cards, checking accounts, car loan, home loan, that kind of thing. If you're a small business, they love small business. And they also love motorcyclists and boaters. A lot of places don't want to loan money to somebody who's going to buy a motorcycle. I'm not sure why. Or a boat. They don't like that business. First Community says, welcome boaters, motorcyclists, just like they do drivers of automobiles. It is a terrific place to bank. And there were over 40 locations. And the popcorn, Scott was there before he came in here. And the first thing he said when he came in off the air was, man, I just had some of the great First Community Credit Union popcorn. Consistently great popcorn. Nobody's going to change where they bank for popcorn. We understand that. But we're trying to let you know that it's not just a cold, fluorescent banking facility. They have popcorn. And when it's real hot, they have popsicles, and they have really nice people. And they have every service that you would ever want from any banking institution. And they also sponsor the yard sale on Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock, coming up in just a couple of days, less than 48 hours. The yard sale, so good, it takes two people to host it. They're sitting in the studio right now, Dan Strauss and Scott Sherman. And thank you for those of you who have helped us turn the corner with the yard sale. It was a shaky, rough time for a while because a lot of people just thought, well, there's still only one yard sale at the other place. That's not the yard sale that we've done for 16 years. That's here at 590, 7 to 9 o'clock. If you listen to it, it'll become a Saturday habit for a couple of reasons. One, it's fun, whether you sell or buy anything. And two, it's sponsored by First Community Credit Union, and we can thank them for letting us put on a show that's not constantly stopping for a bunch of commercials. That's the only commercial advertiser you're going to hear from once every 15 minutes. That's it. First Community Credit Union. If you want to know more, visit their website, firstcommunity.com.
Let's check traffic now with Tori Lyons.
Traffic sponsored by Vapo Drops. Delays in the city eastbound 70 through the depressed section, eastbound 64 Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Eastbound 270, you're slow McDonald to New Florissant. Volume southbound 270, Page to Manchester, again either side of 44. And southbound 170, you're backing up between Olive and 64. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Oh, hello there. I'm 70s heartthrob and multi-Emmy award-winning sportscaster Doug Vaughn. Has your life been feeling dull? Well, I'll just get straight to the point. Come into the sharpest place in town and live with a new edge. Scissors, knives, pruners, hedge clippers, lawnmower blades, whatever you need sharpened, the fine professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery can take care of it for you. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
You walk through the door and are greeted with the friendly smell of barbecue smacking you right in the face. A pleasant host seats you at a table made of wood, in a chair made of wood, on a floor made of wood. We perfectly carve a chunk of meat from a bigger chunk of meat. Pavlovian pre-sweat dots your brow and the world melts away as you drift into a meat coma. Wait, was that just Pauly Shore? Welcome to Salt and Smoke.
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
At Elysium Restoration and Design, they specialize in interior home renovations, including bathroom and kitchen remodeling, basements, additions, garages, and more. They offer start-to-finish solutions for every project while providing full design services with custom work to fit your needs. Elysium's lead carpenters have at least 10 years' experience, so you know the work is done the right way. And being a family-run business, they take the time to communicate every step of the way. Check out Elysium Restoration and Design at erdstl.com.
Mizzou returns to Perot Field Saturday, September 22nd against national runner-up Georgia. It's the annual Gold Rush game at Memorial Stadium, so be sure to wear Mizzou gold for the game. The Say Insurance Free Tailgate Concert Series features Roots and Blues Showcase after Tiger Walk. Limited tickets remain. Don't miss your chance to see your Tigers take on Georgia. Order your tickets online at mutigers.com or call 1-800-CAT-PAWS. It's Mizzou in Georgia, September 22nd. Wear gold, and we'll see you at the zoo.
All right, this phone bank is full of callers here. We're going to start with Dan. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Not you.
Oh.
Dan on the phone.
I'm Dan.
Yeah, thank you.
Dan.
Thank you, Dan. The other Dan. Say hi to Scott.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hello, that Dan. I'm doing fine.
Thank you, Scott. Hey, it should be a pretty simple question, but I was divorced probably about, close to 10 years ago. And this has to do with a custody agreement or whatever they call it. And it's my understanding that child support has changed in the state of Missouri.
It did.
That it ends at age 21.
In 2017, yeah. In January of 2017, they changed it so that they couldn't drag out child support to the age of 23 if they kept screwing around in college or taking a nut. It got cut off completely, no matter if they're at Harvard or they're at, whatever county community college, at 21. It's over.
Okay, so my question is, even though that my, custody agreement says, till they're 22 or 23, and that was signed back in 2012, that does not supersede or precede, I guess it's the law now, right? Even if there was an agreement made prior to 2017.
Yeah, and our Dan knows about this, and a lot of people do. If you call the child support enforcement, it's the state of Missouri, and you tell them, look, I've got a pre-2017 custody agreement here and child support agreement.
That's correct.
That they can, I believe, administratively change that decree. At the very worst, you might have to get a lawyer to file a motion to enforce the statute and shorten the time on your child support.
That's not what I wanted to hear. Okay.
Well, it was an or. I would start with the free phone call. Call up to Jeff City, talk to somebody in child support enforcement, have the decree in front of you, and say, hello, I'd like this shortened.
Yeah, who do you call in Jeff City? How do you find out who to call?
The Division of Child Support Enforcement, they got their own
okay.
whole bank of people that do this kind of stuff.
But my check is not garnished. I just pay my ex every month with a check. Can I just stop it when my child turns 21?
Look, here's the one thing I would do. Don't do anything in contrary action to a court order until it's okay from a new court order.
Okay.
So if you want to put it into pay the child support people, that's fine, but I'd be on that phone tomorrow. I mean, this happened in 2017, so I'm sure this trickled down to you, before today. Get on the phone, because it sounds like you're paying stuff.
She doesn't turn 21 until next year in June. So I
is
got
she
a
in school?
She is in school in Mizzou. Yeah.
How are her grades?
Good.
Excellent. That's the best thing.
But
if her grades were not good, then there's a provision if you don't carry like a 2.5, you don't carry, I think 12 credit hours. There's that kind of thing that shortens it even shorter.
And then you said,
yeah, but I don't want to do that.
You just said, I've got a lot of time. She doesn't turn 21 until next year. Yeah, you have a lot of time, but you're going to need it because none of this stuff happens in a week. I'd go ahead right now and do what he said. Call him because you know how that stuff works. Jeff City, sure, and then it takes 3 months or something.
You know what, Frank, that's such a good point. There have been several cases that are cut and dry that just need court orders, and for some reason things take like 4 months. just because judges get out of town, they don't have the right document, it wasn't served right, the proper party's sick. So things go in 30-day increments. So get on it now.
Right.
If it can be administratively done, great. If you have to do a modification, send me an email. I got a guy who's down the hall from me that'll do this modification, and it won't cost a lot.
Hey, Dan, do you get along with your ex?
I do not. No, I'm like your ex.
Okay. All right. There you go.
No. We do not at all.
Never mind.
No. Yeah. All right. Dan, good luck. If you need Scott's email address, do you know what it is?
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
It's catching on. It's catching on, man. Dan, good luck. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We take every call we can take.
Imagine the hundreds of people who have been paying child support beyond the time. Well, this thing is, you know, relatively new. Thousands. Beyond the time that they legally have to.
Because they didn't know.
And would rather take that money and directly give it to their kid or do something else with it.
Right.
And sometimes the ex is shocking. Don't give the money to the kids.
Yeah. Scott, it's Scott to Scott. Scott, say hello to Scott Sherman and welcome to 590 The Fan.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Frank. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you, Scott. Hallelujah.
Hey, Scott, I got a question for you. I've got a family member who was in an accident recently. They were riding on a moped. It was in the city of St. Louis, and they were in a bike lane when the accident happened. Basically, they were riding alongside of another car. They were in the bike lane, and the car made a right turn in front of them, and so on the moped they had a crash, and the insurance company is giving him trouble about being in the bike lane on a moped. Do you know anything about city ordinances or anything?
When you call it a moped, is it technically really a moped, like 50 cc's or under?
Good question.
Correct.
Okay. Because that would make a huge difference. You know what, Scott? I have to just turn this right over you. I don't know what the law is about a moped and a bike lane.
You don't have to wear a helmet if it's 49 cc's or less.
Right.
It's even treated like a bicycle just because it's motorized.
Right.
Now, their definition of motor vehicle does include motorized vehicles like a lawnmower. So my situation would be, I don't know exactly what the ordinance would be, but the rules of the road are that if you're on a bicycle, you're supposed to stay to the right with the flow of traffic and obey the traffic rules. So if your friend's kid was on something less than 50 cc's in a bike lane traveling as a bicycle, and that person made an illegal right turn by not using the highest degree of care, I think it's a fight worth having.
Okay, but stop
make
right there.
Them you, show.
Stop right there. Illegal right turn. Scott, well, was it an illegal right turn, or was the motor, was the automobile just making a right turn?
It was just making a right turn onto a street, and I guess, you know, he was probably in his blind spot, and the guy in the car probably didn't see him.
There's no such thing as a blind spot. This is a misnomer. The rules of the road are this in the state of Missouri. You have to, if you're operating a motor vehicle, use the highest degree of care. Not just, well, you know, I didn't see the guy who was in my blind spot, or the kid was in the bike lane. That's not the end of the conversation. Did they check their mirrors? Did they know that it was a bike lane? Did they have a reason to know that traffic would go in that direction? Did they stop or slow before they went into parking lot or whatever that driveway was on that street? All of those things lead to the highest degree of care. My guess is, and because Missouri is not just a highest degree of care state, but also a pure comparative negligence state, that this driver of the car is at least 50, 60, 70% at fault, unless there is an ordinance that mandates that these types of moped drivers, even though they don't have to wear helmets, have to stay in the lane of traffic and can't pass on the right. Did your friend's kid get a ticket from the city police officer?
Well, it was a friend of mine, but no, he didn't.
Okay. Well, I'm sure the police were at the scene, and they know the ordinances is better than anyone. Sometimes they overwrite tickets. If the cop on the scene did not issue a ticket to the moped rider who was in the bike lane, I would tell that insurance company, the next person you're going to talk to is a lawyer. Goodbye.
Okay, here's the next question, though. Did they ticket the car driver?
No, not that I'm aware of.
But that's okay, because just because they didn't violate a traffic law, when I said illegal turn, I mean one that violates the rule of the highest degree of care, not that they ran a red light or something. So I might have misspoke. Okay. But just because there's no ticket issued to that vehicle driver, the car driver, does not mean that they are not 100% at fault or some high percentage at fault. If that moped driver was in a place that he or she had a right to be at that time. It's the driver, the operator of the motor vehicle's responsibility, and the moped driver, too, to use the highest degree of care when they're operating a car.
Okay.
So I would tell him, stick that and talk to a lawyer.
I was going to say, if he gets pushback, I will forward your email address to him.
And then also this, say, what ordinance are you talking about? Email me a copy. No, not just have your friend say to the adjuster, what ordinance specifically are you talking about that requires the 49cc or less moped operator to ride anywhere but in the bike lane? Send that to me. And I bet you it doesn't exist. Because if it did, the cop would have wrote it.
Scott, thank you for the call and for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Very quickly before we go to the next call. I'm a little disagreement here on this one because, let's say I'm on a bike. Let's just say it's a bike or a moped, same thing. I'm in the right lane and there's a car over here on my left and he's going to make a legal right turn. Isn't it on me to stop and let him turn and not run into him? I mean, shouldn't I be watching for, and the right of way belongs to the car?
Here's what's crazy. There are different standards of care for bicycle riders as there are for motorized vehicle drivers.
Okay.
You only have to use ordinary care, and the law mandates that bike riders, and this is annoying to me, and as annoying to me as it is to everybody who has these guys that are like training for the Tour de France on Gravoy, and I don't know what they're doing out there, these ridiculous spandex shirts and stupid helmets on. Why are they right next to me? Because the law says they can't ride on the sidewalk. And they're jerks.
All right.
You know, the bicycle riders are, I mean, these guys, some of these guys are real jerks, but that doesn't make them have a higher degree of care than ordinary care.
Okay. Doug is next. Doug, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. How are you today?
Great, Doug. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I have a question in regards to homeowners associations. I just moved into a neighborhood and I've never been in a neighborhood that's got a homeowners association. I found out that in the course of doing some things that the seller said that the homeowners association is supposed to have a maintenance agreement to have the septic and aerator system checked twice a year with a company. I found out in the course of things that that apparently hasn't been done for a little over a year on this property. So my question is, one, should a homeowners association, I've got to call into the developer, should that be something in writing? I assume it is. Two, If in fact it's in writing and that hasn't been done, does that give me the right or ability to not pay my homeowners association dues based on that not being done?
Ooh, these are good ones. First of all, I've never heard of a septic system needing to be checked twice a year. That's insane. That's not even necessary. Two, yes, it has to be in writing or it doesn't exist. Here's Scott.
It's called the statute of frauds. It's not about fraud. It means that there are certain transactions or certain topics that have to be in writing. Real estate is one of them. Contracts for the sale of goods over $500 is another. But because it's about a house and real estate, it has to be in writing. Number two, the letter of the agreement does not mean that you are exempt from having to pay those dues. You can sue them or you can have a lawyer make them enforce their own agreement, especially since they wrote it and are putting it on you to have it enforced against. But if they are not enforcing their own agreement, you still have to pay the dues. But I would say, I want paragraph such and such, clause whatever, line 6 done. And if it's not done, I'm going to make you do it. And I hate to say that, you know, that would cost you a few hundred dollars to have a lawyer do, but that is your recourse. You cannot withhold that. Now, there is an exception. Let's say you paid it into sort of like an escrow or you paid it into the court registry and you said, I'm going to have a declaratory judgment action that because they're not enforcing this septic tank provision, the whole thing is void, or most of it is void. And until a judge says what parts are enforceable, I don't want them to get my money. So if you took that money and instead of just not paying it, paid it into the court or paid it into an escrow account and had a fight over the language, that would be an acceptable way for the HOA not to be enriched. But I would not advise you to do that unless you're ready for litigation.
Here's one other possibility. If there was an amendment to the HOA agreement, when somebody realized, wait a second, no septic system has to be checked twice a year. They might have amended it to once every 5 years. How long, when's the last time it was checked? Do you know?
Summer of last year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You'd have to have the worst septic system ever put in the world to have to check it twice a year.
Okay.
I mean, septic systems are, my goodness, and if the aerators, here's the other thing. If that agreement does state that that's what they're supposed to do and something goes wrong with your septic system, boom, you got them. They're going to owe you big time.
And then another one, Doug, when you were negotiating the deal on this house, did your real estate person, your agent, did they go over the HOA with you? How did you find out that there was a provision in there about septic tanks?
We actually found out that it was in a homeowners association when the bank actually that we did the financing with discovered that, and it's like $350-375 or something like that. So like, okay, didn't really think about it, and then like I said, when we were going through things, found out that the maintenance hadn't been done. So at this point I'm kind of going off of just general discussions that have happened. The seller mentioned, oh yeah, you know, the house is 3 years old, and like, yeah, the developer, you know, like they've got some deal where they have somebody that cleans it out or checks it. So
but that was pre-closing or post-closing on your house?
Pre.
Okay. I can't believe the title company didn't provide, since these HOAs and these other encumbrances run with the land, they didn't provide a copy of that when they were doing the title work to his agent so they could go over this stuff and see if there were any landmines. I mean, that was pretty dangerous real estate sales deal, because what if it was terrible,
right?
What if they said Doug has to pay us $10,000 a year and you didn't catch it,
right? Well, and that was gonna be my next call of who else, if I don't hear back from the developer in reasonable time, who else might have a copy that would help me.
Well, there's obviously there's a homeowner association, their office.
The HOA.
Yeah, the HOA itself. Just call their office. They want a copy of it. Yeah. And maybe there's been an amendment where they no longer, and they can show why, need to check it twice a year. Three-year-old house, my goodness, is brand new. How many people live in that house?
Four previously.
Yeah. Five people lived in my house. I've been there 32 years. We have a septic system. It's been cleaned out three times in 32 years, and I'm told by a lot of people that's one time too many. If it's working the way it should work, no, seriously, you shouldn't even have to ever, no way it should be looked at twice a year. Yeah. So the good news is, relax, you're not going to wake up to the smell of sewage tomorrow morning.
Take an apple pie over to Gladys Kravitz, who's probably on the president of the board, and say you just baked this, you know, get it from the smokehouse market.
You have every right to a copy of the HOA rules and regulations. You live there. Just ask for it.
Yeah, Andy Guns makes a great pie. Take the pie over there.
You bet. Pies work wonders. Doug, good luck, Doug.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. And, man, I learned a lot today.
I did, too.
I'm going to try to pass the bar in a couple of weeks.
I think you're ready.
I think I'm ready to go. Scott Sherman is brought to you every Thursday by Peroni's Pizza. Just when I say it, I'm hungry. Now I'm hungry. I'm really hungry for not just their pizza, but their toasted ravioli and their mostaccioli and everything else they make so well. Pirrones. You want to know more about their banquet facility and their Florissant location? They also have a St. Peter's location. Or you want to know about their buffet? Here's everything you need to know. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., all you can eat. That's what you need to know. And on Friday, it includes their chicken wings. They're fantastic chicken wings. Peroni's Pizza. Scott Sherman, thank you so much.
Frank, thank you.
We've helped a lot of people again. We'll do it again next Thursday.
You bet.
Now, this is the part, because I don't want to bail before exactly 5 o'clock. It's 4 minutes. Well, 4 seconds. No, now it's 1 second. Oh, my goodness, now it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 5-9ofthefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shug. The Palo Alto University professor accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault is reportedly willing to testify if Senate Republicans agree to certain terms. The New York Times says Christine Blasey Ford would be prepared to testify as long as senators offer terms that are fair and can ensure her safety. Republicans wanted Ford to testify on Monday, but it's unclear just when the hearing might take place. Hawaii Democrat Mazie Hirono spoke to reporters.
And women like Dr. Ford who come forward very bravely to tell her story, which, by the way, is very credible and I believe her, need to be supported.
Kavanaugh, a veteran federal judge, has strongly denied the assault.